As we now enter into the season of Lent, which began on last Wednesday evening with Ash Wednesday, you see that we have left the ashes and the book from Wednesday there. We will add things to that altar as time moves forward, with palm branches that when we get to that time of Passion Palm Sunday, and other things will be added to that as we go through that, and still take communion from that table as time goes. And so all that will be there and added as we go through Lent leading up to the Easter celebration. So let us pray together. Oh Lord and our God, we thank you for the very essence of worshiping you, of feeling your spirit, of knowing your love and finding your grace in all that is done. Help us this day to worship you in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon us, and may we be changed by our worship this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, page 400 in your hymns.
As you remain standing, if you would turn to page 766, Psalms 32. We will read our Psalter this morning without the responses. So stay with us and let us read together. 766, Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed are those whom the Lord does not hold guilty, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
When I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let those who are godly offer prayer to you.
At the time of distress, the rush of great waters shall not reach them.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Do not be like the unruly horse or mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle.
Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous.
Shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
So under sharing of joys and concerns, Marilyn and I are going to break a tradition we have done for almost 38 years. We have knelt at the altar and held hands and prayed in front of the church for 38 years. Well, my right knee is not going down on that altar right now, no matter what much I want it to. Surgery is April 17th, so we have looked at each other, and last time I tried to get up from the altar last Sunday, she was afraid I wasn't going to make it, and I kind of felt the same pain. So being the leader and boss at my house on occasion, she looked at me and said, honey, we're not doing that anymore, you can get over it. She said it nicer than that, but that's what she said. So I'm not going to do that, so I'll be praying from here. Up and through the time that I can bend at that altar. And I see David back there shaking his head going, yes, sir, since he just had his knee replaced, what, 4 months ago now?
Almost four.
By the same doctor that's going to do mine. So I'll try to behave as well as he did. So from up here, where I really can't hear you, are there any prayer requests that we'd like to bring forth to the congregation this day?
Georgia husband.
Hey, Georgia.
My neighbor. Yeah. Sheila, she fell and hurt herself and she did something to her pelvis. I don't think it was a bad break, but she's still.
So her neighbor Sheila, who fell and did something to her pelvis.
She's off. She has to be off for 2 weeks.
Have to be off her feet for 2 weeks?
Well,
how's that going?
Yeah, as much as, yeah.
Yeah, not probably well, is it? Okay. Well, we'll pray for her to behave and get well on the same thing.
Thank you. Continue to remember Brittany, too.
Yeah, we need to pray for Brittany, and that she gets better. She has fought this now ever since she went on vacation. Just tell her next time when you see her, that's what happens when you miss my sermon.
That's right.
And then tell her I want her to get well. I want to pray for Pat Brown. We've had prayer requests for her for two or three reasons. Let's just pray that she gets well, and I'll leave the two or three reasons people ask for prayer requests alone. But just pray that she gets better and stronger, and that I know that she's able to talk well, but everything else I'm not sure about. So pray and pray for her as she gets well, and we pray that she does. Anybody else? Hey, Michelle.
Kind of knew they were going to, but they had this thing they wanted to get married in the snow.
So can I ask a personal question? What's her name? Okay, I just want to make sure that you knew her name. just thought it'd be nice. Sorry, I couldn't help it. You know, you've been in Bible study, but you know how this brain works. And so.
I knew
her name.
I knew her name.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm glad.
Good question.
I'm glad you like her, though, and happy about it. Okay, good. Are there others? Get me out of trouble. If not, I'd ask that you would bow and pray with us. I will say from the Pleasant Hill Church, for a pretty much unspoken request, but just be with Mark, who goes to Pleasant Hill, and his family. They really need your prayers at this point, and we'll just kind of leave it at that. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, with bowed heads and bowed hearts, we come to you this day asking you that you would be with Pat, that you would be with Shirley, that you would be with Mark, and that you would bless them at each place they are in their lives, that you would love them and care for them, and that you would be with Janie also, that you would bless her, and that you would just give strength and healing, that you would be with Jane from the Chevron Church and you would bless her, and that you would just walk with them and that you would bless them, and that you would give them a peace and a grace that is beyond anything that they can fully expect, but you have the ability to give. Give healing. Give freedom of mind, give freedom of heart, give a rejoicing that only can come from you. And we do pray, O Lord, for marriage, a gift that you have given us. We pray that you would allow Michelle's son and now daughter-in-law to be strong and healthy, and that they would grow in that marriage in a way that only you can bless them in. Let them find the presence of your Spirit in their time of argument. Let them find the blessing of your peace in the time of struggle. And let them find the power of your Holy Spirit in their lives as they go forward in joy. Be with them and bless them in all places and all things. Now allow us, O Lord, to find a place in our souls that you are walking with us and you are loving us and you are carrying us and that we are worshiping you with all that we are. Hold us tight when we need to be held and free us when we need to experience freedom. And let us in all that we worship, worship you in a strength and in a love that only can come from you. We do pray for Brittany that you would bless her for what seems like an infection that goes on and on. We pray even as we speak our prayer that you would lay your hands upon her ears and her jaw and that pain would go away and that infection would be completely healed. Bless her in it and let her feel your healing. And now allow us this day as your church gathered in this place, that we would be moved and changed and open to your Spirit. And let us, in doing that, pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And let that be our prayer today. It is well with my soul.
Let us pray. Oh, that it would be well with the soul of our nation. Oh, that it would be well with the soul of our world. That it would be well with the soul of our state and our city and the souls of the ones that are in this church. Let it be well, and let us in our giving show that God has made us well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We would like to ask you to turn to hymn number 437 and follow the words with us. If you would like to sing, we would love to have you sing with us. This is my song.
And clover, and
As the choir comes down, I don't know how many of y'all have been blessed to go on mission trips. I've been blessed to go over 30 different mission trips over my life. Two before I met Mary Lynn in Mexico, and then into the Gold Coast of Africa. I've been to Costa Rica and Guatemala. Went to Guatemala when they decided to have a counter-revolution, and we landed as the airport was on fire. That was great. Probably one of the best mission trips we've ever had. As we lived with both the people of the country that were with the government and the counter-revolution folks, and our medical team became a medical team and a triage unit all at one time when we got caught in firefight while we were there and went through that. And then the lovely time when we went to Guatemala at the top of the mountains at Chichi Costananga, and we had Bible school in the Catholic Church. And the priest came and offered us his building because we were in the field, and we stayed in there and did that, and had over 200 children from that little area come from all over the place to listen to the American preacher preach. That was me. And it went from English to Spanish to Quiche in the translation. And they had never seen an ocean. Have you ever tried to explain God walking on water through Jesus on the ocean when they've never seen an ocean in their lives and didn't have books to hear about it? I think about that every time we sing this song. For those little ones that spoke Quiche, which is the Mayan language of that area, you know, their blues are just as blue as ours. Skies are just as blue as ours is. Their lands, flowers are just as beautiful. And they know no difference. And I think about that as we go through life, how blessed we have been. And every mission trip I've ever been on, I went there to be the person to give out Jesus. And I found that the most blessed person on the trip was me, no matter how it turned out. And I think about that as we read and we think about all that goes on. And you hear me mention my friends who are missionaries in different places. One of the joys of going to an all African American seminary and being the only white student on campus is that about a fourth of our folks were Africans, and they went back home to preach. And I think about the wars, and I know my friends, and they'll send me texts. Some of them actually listen to the prayer that we have, and they go through, they get shared with people, and they get come through other places, but they always send me remarks back about the prayer. And you wouldn't think they had to find me again, because I left them from Trinity and showed up here, and they took me a while to find me after I had the prayers again. But they found the prayers, and you would think after all these years and all the prayers they'd heard me pray, they would be tired of them. And yet, they write back and thank God for the prayers. And for us, let it be on the air through our Facebook page. Think about all that as we sing that song. For some of us, as we sing and we've been to places that we didn't deserve to be and saw things happen that are amazing how God interacted, even got to be in my own place in exorcism with one of the Catholic priests overseas and all that stuff. There was just all these things. Not bad for a little country boy from North Georgia, North Alabama, who only dreamed of being a welder, never leaving the South. God blesses people in many ways, and you have been blessed also in ways you can't speak of sometimes, but it's true. So I think about that. Every time we sing that song, that's why I almost hesitated to tell you the song, because I know what it does to me when we sing it, and so, and how it changes. Well, that's not what you came here for, testimony meeting. You came for Bible and reading, and so the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. I'm going to begin with verse 1, and this is the first Sunday of Lent, and this is a reading specifically set aside for this Sunday, although we do it in many other ways. So if you're able to stand, if you would stand for the reading of God's holy word out of Luke 4, please feel free to do so. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angel concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an appropriate time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Bear witness, O Lord, to the reading of your word. Give grace in it, and may the power of your Spirit encamp around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So one of my friends, who happens to be one of those folks who pastors in a little church in Africa. They have dirt floors and a thatched roof. They come rain, shine, sleet, or snow, mostly rain. And yesterday morning, because they're a little behind us, or ahead of us time-wise, they had people walk as much as 40 miles to be in church that morning. It kind of sounds like the old story from your parents. I walked 40 miles uphill one way to the school every day. He and I talk about things a lot, and one of the things we both like to do is what we like calling preaching around the edges. You've heard this scripture read how many times in your life? Any guesses? Hundreds. And almost always, the preachers preach on what Satan said to Jesus and how Jesus responded, right? And so you hear that over and over again, and I'm sure they've told you that Jesus' responses is out of the Old Testament. It's Old Testament scriptures. He gets it from there, and you've heard the response of those things. And yet, the story that's with this, past those three responses and those three temptations, are just amazing what happens on the edges of this scripture that we almost never preach about. We kind of leave it alone. I don't know why, and I don't know how you do in your Sunday school classes that you've had in the past, how y'all dealt with it, but I want you to look with me, and I'm going to start at the end, which seems like a weird place to do it. Just pretend you're in Greek class, and you're starting with the end, and you start with the endings, and you look at this. The very end, verse 13 says, When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him into an opportune time. I want you to notice the words first. When the devil had finished every test. There's an assumption I think we make that in the testing, there's only three tests. You know, we have them, Jesus responds, they have them, Jesus responds. You see the three tests and the way it works. And yet the scriptures are clear that the testing lasts for the whole 40 days, and there's tests other than the three after the ones that we see in front of us. That there's testing goes on the whole time, and the testing doesn't end after this because it says this, he departed from him until an opportune time. Watch it carefully. Satan doesn't stop when this is over. Satan keeps testing. Now, I'll have people say, well, do you actually believe in the devil? Well, my problem is Jesus did. So if Jesus believed in the devil, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to believe the devil because that's what Jesus said and that's the way he acted. That's how he interacted. He actually talks to the devil. And so if he talks to him, I guess he believes in him. So he has this conversation with him. And so we have the Satan here doing this, and he's going to test. Now, let me help y'all with something. You're not immune to Satan's testing. Satan's going to test us. Now, this is where we talk about preaching around the edges, because this is what people don't like to talk about in Scripture. Go back to chapter 4, but back to verse 1 of the reading. Okay? Watch it. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. He's just been baptized. God said, this is my Son who I'm well pleased. You've seen the dove descending on him with the Holy Spirit, and it's coming down on Jesus, and he's filled with that Spirit, and he's full of that love. All that stuff is going on inside of him. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan as he was led by the Spirit. And where did the Spirit send him? Well, he didn't get to go to the house for a nice lunch. He didn't get to go get a little nap. He didn't get to go take a break. What happens with him? The Spirit sends him to the wilderness. Now, Satan didn't send him to the wilderness. Who sent him? The Spirit. The Spirit will send you to places that the Spirit knows Satan will test you. One of my friends said, well, that means that the Spirit sets you up for testing. Amen. We don't like that. We want to think that Satan does it all, and the Spirit would never put us in a place we have to make a decision. Never would make us make a choice. That it's all about Satan and us. Well, according to this, that Jesus is so filled with the Spirit, that being so full of the Spirit, what does he do? He sends him to the wilderness. And the very next sentence, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. I don't know if y'all read the story about the man that decided he was going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, but his fasting was no food and no water. This scripture says Jesus fasted without food. Doesn't mention water. All right, you got other places it says he does, but here it's just food. All right, so the man that did this lasted 29 days. At the 29 days, you know what happened to that man? He died. He refused to eat. I didn't know you could last 29 days without food and water. Here's Jesus, 40 days. And the entire time he's there, he's being tempted by Satan. So question for you this morning. This is going to be a question-filled sermon. Are y'all in the wilderness or the promised land? You don't get to be in between. You're in one of the two places. And once you decide where you are, can Satan tempt you in both places? Yes. Just because you're in the promised land don't mean Satan's not working. In fact, I would argue he works harder in the promised land than he does in the wilderness. Well, what do the two places look like? Well, we know the Holy Spirit's in both places. We know Jesus was in both places. We know the nation of Israel, notice 40 again, went through 40 years of being in the wilderness. Why? Were they in the wilderness? Well, they spent about 9 months getting from Egypt to the edge of the promised land. They had to go through the Red Sea and have those issues. They had to go through being at Mount Sinai where the tablets were written not once but twice. And the first time Moses had a fit because they were made a golden calf and he decided to throw the tablets against the golden calf and destroy them. So Jesus, I mean, God being God, made Moses write the second set. His own, he had to carve them out. I think that's actually cool, but you have to think through that. So we got all those things going on. And then they go to the edge of the promised land. They send 12 people in. You know, they probably were a Methodist committee. I hate to say this to you, but how do I know that? Because 12 went in and two of them thought they could do it. And I've been in so many of those meetings where two thought they could do it and 10 thought they couldn't. They had to be Methodists. And so those of y'all who aren't Methodists, you don't get that. But anyway, it's okay. Stay with me. So you think about the process of this. 12 went in. Two saw the promised land. 10 saw giants. The test for them was the giants. They saw giants in the land, and they came back and said, there's giants in the land, and we cannot overcome them. And so for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness till they all died, except for the two that said, I want that mountain. Let's take the land. See, there's testing on the edge of the wilderness in the promised land, too. Now, I want to walk you through some of the biggest tests you're ever going to have. Watch as this worked through. Verse 3. This is the devil speaking. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, I want you to hear it. If you are the Son of God, the devil is trying to put doubt in the heart of Jesus. Remember, he's fully human along with being fully divine. Satan is trying to put doubt into Jesus by saying, if you are Christian, friends, God really doesn't care about you. You know, the people say he does, but he doesn't. He wouldn't let things happen to you. He wouldn't let you go through that pain. He wouldn't let you, we can argue and talk about all the different things people say God wouldn't let you do. Because we all have been taught in many ways that once you accept Christ as Savior, it's all going to be perfect and nice. I don't know who taught you that, but it wasn't me. That's not the way life works. If you don't believe that, just ask Jesus. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and all the nice he got was to go to the wilderness for 40 days and be tempted. How'd that turn out? Turned out well in the end, but think of the process. He's trying to put doubt. Nothing can kill the faith in somebody. Nothing can disturb the faith of a church more than doubt. You don't need anything else to set you aside from where you're going if you've got doubt in your soul. Happened in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden, they're there. They're naked. They've been given all the land they want. Adam and Eve's there. They're having a good time. Satan comes up to them and says, you know, let me just tell you. God didn't really mean that. That don't eat of that fruit thing. He's just trying to keep you from becoming like gods. And you won't die if you eat of that. It's just, God's lying to you. It's not true. You can go eat of that. And it'll be great. Your eyes will be open. And you'll know what's going on. And you won't die. Satan puts doubt into Adam and Eve's thought process that God was telling them the truth. There's this doubt that flows into us. If you ask yourself a question, how many of y'all live a lot of your life doubting? How do we doubt? You ever thought about that? How does that work in our lives? We walk through with this doubt. It overcomes us. It overwhelms us. What's the next one? Just stay with it. Verse 5. The devil led him up and showed him in all instances all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it's been given to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours. The second step of doubting is to put a hook to it. If you are the Son of God, but you know, if you'll follow me, I'll give you all this. You won't have to go through all that stuff's in front of you. You won't have to die on a cross. You won't have to suffer that pain. All you've got to do is just listen to me, and I'm going to give you everything you ever wanted, and all you've got to do is bow down and worship me. That's all you got to do. Watch how Satan works this. Satan would be a good salesman. He knows how to sell. Put the doubt in. Put the hook in. And then he finishes it. Watch again. Beginning with verse 9. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, listen to it carefully, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Doubt with a hook, adding more doubt and a temptation with the doubt. Just throw yourself off. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off. Well, if he threw himself off, the angels would have protected him. But if he throws himself off, he's having to prove to Satan who he already knows he is, the Son of God. The doubt and the hook with the temptation changes what Jesus becomes because he has to prove to Satan who he really is. And Satan already knows. Don't mess yourself up thinking Satan doesn't know who God is. Satan knows. Where'd Satan come from? Heaven. Seen him face to face. Knows what he looks like. Better than we do when it comes to knowing by seeing. But he doesn't know by heart and soul who God is. He doesn't know by spirit who God is. We all know the answers that Jesus rebuked him on all three things. But if you're watching the scenery unfold, this is what happens to us. This is how Satan gets us. Now, admittedly, sometimes we don't need Satan's help. None of us have ever been tempted by our own temptations, have we? We all have them. Whether we want to admit to it or not, we all have them. Yours are different than mine, probably. But we all have them. In my lifetime, I've lost at least 7 people. Let me explain that to you. Marilyn married me. I weighed 292 pounds. I lost down to 180 as a person. Then I gained back to 280. I lost to 191. There's another person. Then I gained back up to 265, and then I lost down to 195. There's number 3. I can lose weight better than anybody in this room. And my temptation is not sweets. Chocolate does nothing for me. It looks nice. Mary Lynn loves it. I'd rather have butterscotch, but I'm going to eat a sweet, and I had chocolate any day of the week. That's just Reese's Pieces. But anyway, but you know what gets me? Hot rolls with butter. Amen. Anybody here ever been tempted with hot rolls and butter? I don't need Satan to help me with this one. Satan can just stay over there and eat his own hot rolls and butter. I don't need him. I got this. I can go do that. And you say, well, hot rolls and butter is not a sin. No, one's not. 2's closing in. 5 probably is. It's that gluttony thing. No fat preacher ever preaches on gluttony. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's the way it works. It's another sermon. Think of the process of this. When Satan gets in, Satan picks that weak point. I don't need Satan for the hot rolls and butter. But Satan works on other things. It won't hurt you to gain 50 pounds. It won't cause any issues for you to do this. Nobody will know if you act that way. The hook with the doubt. So I have a job for y'all this week. Most of y'all don't like it when I give you jobs, but I want to give you one. Going through this next week, here's what I want you to do. First of all, in the job description is you're going to be tempted. Whether by Satan or yourself, it's going to happen. Okay? So we don't even have to talk about whether it's going to happen or not. It's going to happen. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. The old psychologist in me would say, you need to write this down. The preacher in me says, well, probably help you to write it down, but you don't have to. When you feel the temptation, pause a minute. Now, you may act on it anyway, but pause a minute. It may be a good thing that you're being tempted with. By the way, there can be good temptations. How do you tell the difference? Another sermon. When you feel the temptation, ask yourself the question, is that the Holy Spirit leading me there so the temptation can happen so I can overcome it and grow from it? I love taking tests. Anybody else love tests? I could not wait to take tests in any level of school I've been in. I prayed they would be. Because it means when I take the test, that part of the subject's over and I can move on to the next thing and learn again. That's what gets me to graduation, is taking tests. I can't wait to take them. And the trouble is with that was I was really good at tests. So sometimes I was better at tests than the subject I was tested in. But anyway, tests was easy for me. But I love tests. Well, you've got to decide, is that test something Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit's leading you to that you can overcome? Or is it a temptation that Satan's leading you to? Or is it a temptation that you're leading yourself to? By the way, the ones you lead yourself to are the hardest to overcome. Why? Because if you lead yourself to the temptation you wanted it to start out with, it's the hardest to overcome. Well, that's your job description for the week. You don't have to report it to me. I just want you to report it to yourself. I want you to walk through it. Look at yourself with it. Because remember, Lent is a time of self-reflection and change in preparation for the Easter celebration. That's what Lent's all for. Maybe what you're supposed to give up this year is one of your temptations. Maybe that's what's right there in front of you. I don't know, between you and God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for, even though it's hard to do, we thank you for the temptations. We thank you that the Spirit will lead us into the wilderness. Oh Lord, we just hope someday we can get out of that wilderness. We thank you that God's blessings walk with us. Now open our hearts, open our souls, so that we can say it is well with our soul. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Precious Name 536.
Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Precious name,
precious name,
oh how sweet,
oh how sweet,
above earth
and joy
of earth. Precious name,
precious name.
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
How sweet.
Oh, Mother and Julia, take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. Temptations round you gathered, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet,
oh how sweet,
oh Mother and joy of heaven.
Ready for the week, ready to see what's in front of you, see how the testing is going to go. Look forward to it. Just remember, you can't get to the promised land unless you're willing to undergo the temptation. Let us pray. Now let us go in peace. May the God who gives us everything that we ever have and ever will be walk with us. Let us have the honor of your Spirit to lead us to temptation. And let us have the wisdom of your words to lead us out. Let the doubt that we have be resolved. And let the power you have be given. Let us go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.